You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And when we're talking about Big Time Hoops and Big Time Hoopers, you guys might know her as Coach Vashon. That's what the title's going to say. We got Coach Vashon. But let me just talk about Amy Vashon, the player. Miss Basketball, three times All-State. Has some records at University of Maine that still hold to this day. And I think you got to be, if not the only one, there's only probably a couple of you guys that can claim that you have an NCAA tournament win as a player, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably got to be the coolest thing, I would think. But, I mean, we'll get all into it. But Coach Vashon here, I'm Big Time. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the first thing I was wondering, like, this time of year has got to be weird for you because it should be preseason. And I'm wondering if it's a busier preseason than normal or a less busy preseason than normal with everything going on with COVID. Like, what's this preseason been like for you?
Yeah, it actually hasn't been bad. You know, it hasn't really – the biggest difference, I think, for us is we're usually out on the road a lot in September recruiting. And we haven't been allowed to do that. So it's been kind of nice. We've been able to spend time with our current team and our players in the program right now. And we really have been able to do what we usually do. You know, we have to wear masks, and it took a while for us to be able to get in the gym as a team. But typically we work in small groups anyway. So it's been great.
It looks pretty brutal for the players to have to be working out with masks. Is it just as brutal for the coaches to have to coach and wear masks?
You know, it's way worse for them, so I'm not complaining. I think the hardest thing for us is, you know, communicating, and especially with our freshmen, especially our international freshmen who read lips a lot, you know, yeah. They use that. That's really difficult. The fact that they're running up and down the court with the masks on is pretty impressive.
Yeah, so if anything, you guys should be well-conditioned, I would think, right? You got at least that going for you.
That's what we were saying today. Yeah, exactly.
How much different has it been than normal? I mean, you guys probably wouldn't have been starting up practices yet anyway, right? It would still probably be all preseason stuff.
You know what? We usually actually start practices beginning of October. So it would be about right now. We start next Wednesday with our full 20 hours. So couple of weeks, but again, it's been great. I mean, I love our team. I'm really excited about the young kids we have and the returners we have, and they're just a joy to be around. So
you gotta be itching to go because like the season got cut short for you guys, like at the worst possible time, heading into a championship game. And then I don't know what you guys normally do in the spring, but I'm guessing there's still some stuff you do in the spring which you couldn't do at all, and I'm guessing there's some stuff in the summer you guys normally do that you couldn't do at all, and like even now there's some restrictions, so you got to be just ready to go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think our players are just really hopeful and excited to play a game. You know, it's been a long time, and a lot of our players went home a lot earlier than they usually do, so some kids were home for 5-6 months, you know, and they're never home that long. So yeah, I think everyone's just really excited to get going.
So I know with some people with this whole COVID thing and having to spend more time at home, people are getting on each other's nerves because you're just always around each other, right? So you're spending a lot more time around your players than normal right now. Are you getting on their nerves yet, or are they getting on your nerves yet?
Well, you'd have to ask them about if I'm getting on their nerves, but they're not getting on mine. Really, it's a really, really good group. The freshmen have come in and are really doing a great job. And we have some kids who were hurt last year. Yeah. So they missed out on that season, and so they're excited to be back. And there's just a great energy about the team in the gym.
And you guys must have it. Looks like there's going to be a start date at least, right? So the NCAA came out and said that there will be basketball, and they said it, what, for like late November?
Yep, November 25th.
So it must be nice at least having that to look forward to. Like as of right now, like it looks like you guys will have a season, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are still some regulations we have to get through with the state and all that. But as far as the NCAA, yes. I mean, they've come out and said this is when we're starting. And there are definitely protocols and rules that we have to follow in order to play. But we'll do it. You know, we'll do anything we have to right now in order to play. So
yeah, what can you tell us right now in terms of what a season might look like for you guys? Because the biggest thing is probably going to be traveling, right? I mean, it's going to be different from state to state, wherever you go, depending on the situation is there. So what does it look like right now at this moment?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're still awaiting clearance to travel different places. You know, every state is different. So But I mean, as far as our schedule, we're supposed to start in a tournament actually at Mohegan Sun that first weekend. So the weekend after Thanksgiving, where we play Mississippi State. We're in a tournament with Mississippi State, UConn, and Quinnipiac. Oof. So not too bad. And then the rest of this non-conference, you know, we do have some games scheduled, but again, conference is working on what that will look like. So, I think, you know, as of right now, I don't think there'll be fans in the stands, which is definitely is not great, but we also understand the precautions and, you know, we understand that. So hopefully everyone will be able to watch them streamed and online and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Has the NCAA given you guys like more leeway, like on scrimmages and stuff like that? Cause like, let's say it's going to get pushed back or you're going to have less games. Like if you need to, like, if you want to just scrimmage like other schools in the state, like let's say for example, like do you have that leeway?
Yeah, we could. Well, you can't do it before November 25th.
Right.
So you can't do anything before November 25th. That's different. Usually you're able to scrimmage against some teams prior to the official start date. So you can't do that this year. And I mean, we could play other teams, but the reality is, there really aren't any other college teams that are playing in the fall, you know, in the first semester. Most teams are not starting until January 1st as far as playing games, you know, so there's really not a lot of options there either. So
it's going to be interesting. That's for sure.
It's
be definitely interesting. So yeah. I want to go full circle here. I want to take it back to the beginning and find out how you got to where we're at now, just leading a very successful, amazing program, your alma mater. But let's go back to the beginning. And I'm wondering, was basketball a choice for you, or were you just born into a family where you didn't have a choice? Because I know your dad is.
Yeah, yeah.
The name is probably familiar to a lot of folks in Maine. Did you have a choice when it came to basketball?
Well, I'd say yes and no. I say no, and I laugh when I say no, because I definitely did have a choice. But I remember, I think I was like in first or second grade, and my dad was coaching at Messalonsky at the time, and he was running a clinic. You know, a day. And so we lived in Augusta. So Messalonsky is like 20 minutes away or whatever. So I went to the clinic and I remember it clear as day. I went over, we were in the middle of like full court layups or something. And I went right over to him and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. And he looked at me and he said, too bad you're doing it. You know, like there's nowhere for you to go. You're doing it today. But I joke about that. I mean, after that, I just always loved playing. I would go to his practices all the time, you know, as a third, fourth, fifth grader. I'd always, always go to his practices. And I'd be really upset, like, when they were late practices. You know, sometimes they practice from, like, 8 to 9:30. Yeah. And I wouldn't be allowed to go to that, and I'd be upset, you know. So, so to be fair, I mean, I was born into it, but I loved it, so.
So most of us who grew up in Maine and we love high school basketball, we always have that person that we kind of admire growing up.
Yeah.
So who did you like? Who were your players that you rooted for and just loved growing up that kind of inspired you?
Yeah, they were the Coney girls. I mean, the girls my dad coached, the Lanes, Marcy and Megan, Becky Demas, Lisa Meringue, you know, and then you had, you know, like Alyssa Farrell and you know, Megan Lane, you know, it just could go on and on and on. You know, I remember having posters of them up in my room, you know, but they were the ones, you know, they were the ones.
When did your dad take over at Coney?
1986.
Okay. So he gets there and I was just doing some research on Coney, right? So they won two titles in the late '80s, I think, right? It was like 88. Yeah. Or 87, 89, something
87,
like that.
87, 89, yeah. I mean, he got there 85, I'm sorry. I think 85, 86 was his first year. Yeah.
What do you remember about those state championship runs? Because you mentioned going to practices and stuff like that. I'm guessing you rode on the bus, went to games, sat on the bench.
Yeah.
What do you remember about those state championship runs?
Yeah, I did all of that. I remember the first one was like a huge, huge upset. You know, Portland with Ed Feeney was coaching. I think they had one of the Bay Sisters on the team, and they were good. And they had come to Coney for Christmas for a tournament and beat that Coney team by 30 easily. I mean, just killed them. And so then go fast forward to March, you know, 3 months later, and they're playing in the state game and no one gave Coney a shot, like not even a shot. And somehow they won. I think if you ask my dad today, they're still not sure how they did it, but so that was cool. And then in 89, and then they lost to Portland, I believe. I could be the strong, but I'm pretty sure they lost to Portland in 88 and then came back again in 89. So it was like 3 years in a row when they played. And so it was just really exciting, really exciting time.
I'm guessing that just fueled you, right? I'm guessing you're like, all right, this is what I want to do at that point, right? I'm guessing you're just like, yeah, like this is it. This is what I want
to
do.
Yeah. And I mean, I was fortunate. Like I said, I was able to go to my dad's practices and I practiced with them, yeah. You know? So like I was going through drills with them as a fifth, sixth, seventh grader. Now, I don't know how good I was, but I was able to do those kind of things. And the high school girls just kind of accepted me and, you know, it was awesome.
Well, you came into high school ready to go because what Bangor Daily News all second team was a freshman, which is pretty remarkable. But your first couple years in high school, you had somebody in front of you, right? You guys had someone to go through. You guys wanted to win state championships, right? So there was a roadblock there. Did you guys actually meet up in Eastern Maine Finals or where did you guys battle? And we're talking about Cindy Blodger. For people
If whoever doesn't know. So we played Lawrence. We played Cindy twice in the regular season because they were in the KVAC. So they were in our conference. And then we always had like a KVAC championship game too. So we really played them like three or four times every year. Yeah. And so the first year, and we beat them in the regular season a couple of times. I mean, we never beat them when it counted, but we beat them, you know, during the regular season. My freshman year, we didn't make it to the finals. We lost to Winslow in the semis. And then my sophomore year, we made it to the Eastern Maine final and against Lawrence. And that game was, I mean, to this day, I mean, I remember coming, you know, around the ramp of the Bangor Auditorium, and we literally were stopped in traffic on the ramp. There were so many people, and they shut the doors. Like, I had friends who, well, I had one friend who had to sneak in, another friend couldn't get in, had to go to a local hotel. Like, it was incredible. Really, really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I've seen pictures of, like, just Cindy in tournament games, and you could just see, like, the auditorium packed. But I'm guessing at that point, too, right, her senior year, like, the full legend of Cindy Blodger was in effect, so... Like, this had to be like a hype type game.
Yeah, and I think we were the number one seed, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it was like we had beaten each other, you know, so everyone knew it was going to be a really close game. And she won, and they won. So, you know, that's all right. So.
But obviously, you guys rebounded back, and back-to-back state championships to go out. So you talked about your memories watching your dad's first couple state championships.
Yeah.
What do you remember most from your state championships?
Yeah, I remember the first one was just so exciting. You know, I mean, we had a group. I think there were six of us seniors who had been playing together. And Augusta at the time, it's not like this anymore, but at the time we had like two Catholic schools and then two public junior high schools. So we had four schools feeding into Coney High School. Yeah. So you had girls that were playing, you know, you had four teams of girls who were, and then you had different towns, you know, Vassalboro, different towns that can go. So we had a lot of kids coming in. And we ended up with, I think, six of us who had played together forever. So it was just so fun. And it was a great time.
What do you remember most about the Coney program? So I'm guessing like the first two that your dad won kind of like established the program, and then it took a little while to get back to it. And then things just kept rolling after there. So what would you take away from those state championships and what you guys contributed to the Coney program? Do you think you guys kind of solidified it, or were just kind of pushing it along and kept it going? Or
I mean, I think those early years, you know, they're the ones who really started everything. And, you know, I mean, we all just idolized them and couldn't wait to get into high school. And so then we did. And, you know, it was a really special program. I mean, it started with kids in third grade. You know, they just idolized the high school girls and they'd come to the games. You'd go to, my dad ran a camp every summer. Everyone would go to those camps. I mean, 100, 200 people at those camps, you know, you don't see that anymore. I mean, no one goes to camps anymore, it seems like, but it was just, and just the family, the community, the high standards, you know, our standards, the expectations of us off the court were even more than on the court. And that really shaped for me, for my future, for sure.
Yeah. And obviously the program just continued to do well after you left. What type of alumnus are you? Were you going back to games afterwards, like rooting them on? Like, were you the type to like show up to a practice down the road and like just help kids out? Or what kind of alumnus were you for the Coney program?
Yeah, I mean, at first I was pretty busy, so I didn't have a lot of time. And then I went away to grad school, so I was really removed for a while. When I returned in, I guess it was 2002, I helped my dad out for a year coaching, and we'd go to a lot of games. My brother was in high school, so I'd go to, you know, a lot of Coney games when I lived in Augusta.
Yeah.
And then I moved. I went to Portland. I kind of bounced around, so I wasn't involved as much. But as long as my dad was coaching, we definitely followed it for sure.
It could be tough being a coach's kid, right? Coach's kid, I said that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid of a coach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's all these things that may come up to play, like favoritism, stuff like this. How did you handle it? And I'm guessing your dad didn't show any favoritism when it came to you. You seem like a fiery guy. So I'm guessing you didn't get any of that, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't get any favoritism. But, you know, I mean, I think you always hear, you know, different people who'd say the only reason she's playing is because of her dad or whatever. That happens sometimes, but I think when it gets to the point of, you know, you prove that you're good enough and talented enough to play, then, you know, everyone else just kind of lets it be. My dad was really good at, you know, knowing what each individual player needed. So there are some players he never yelled at. There are some players he always got into, you know, and that's how they responded. And so, he was awesome. Like, just one of the best experiences playing for him, for sure.
And you also capped off the senior year with a Miss Basketball title. So what do you remember most about that weekend? Was it something that, I'm guessing it's something you worked towards. I mean, it's gotta be a goal for anyone, right? You just want to be the best. So I'm guessing that was something that you strove for, or something that you wanted deep down, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wanted to be the best. I mean, I'm not one to like put awards on my bucket list that I have to win or anything, you know, but I do remember that weekend, and the other two finalists were two of my really good friends, Katie Clark and Brie Fecto at the time. And I remember being so nervous, like shaking, and then won and had to speak and was like, what is this? You know, just really, but I mean, the weekend was so fun. We had four of us seniors from Coney made the East-West team. And so we were all there, and I had a lot of friends. It was just a great time.
Yeah, and I ask a lot of people this too, who get to play in the game, and I'm just curious what your mindset is when it comes to All-Star games, because you seem like the competitive type. So do you go into All-Star games like, all right, you know, I'll take my foot off the gas a little bit, or are you just out there to win and just...
It's been so long since I played an All-Star game, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, yeah. I remember that weekend was fun because I was playing with a lot of my teammates. Yeah. So I just remember that. I couldn't tell you if we won or not. I really don't.
Yep. So you got to go play after high school. That's pretty cool. You know, not everyone gets to go play in college. So you had a college career ahead of you and obviously chose UMaine. But what was the recruitment process like? Did you know from day one you wanted to go to Maine, or did you just kind of shake out that way? What was the process like for you?
So I knew pretty early, you know, if this is going back, gosh, 25 years ago. So things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
You know, back then, the recruiting rules were different. The timelines were different. I committed to Maine the July before my senior year, which was really early back then, like super early back then. And now that's almost late for a lot of people, you know. So for me, I just always remember, you know, I'd go to these tournaments and I'd get a lot of letters, and that was really exciting. You know, I mean, that first tournament you get back and you get all these letters. But I always remember, you know, Coach Palumbo was always there. You know, she came to my field hockey games. She came to my basketball games. And she was able to talk to my dad because my dad was my coach. So she'd always be calling my dad.
Yeah.
I remember going to campus to visit. And then when coaches could start calling, I remember thinking, don't like this. Like, I didn't like other coaches calling. I didn't like, they were nice, but it was like a waste of time. You know, like, this isn't, I don't like this. So why? And, you know, I just always, I have a big family in Maine. I love Maine. I saw what that program was doing and wanted to be a part of it. And so it was really a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. And it's a little bit different now too, with this recruiting thing, because kids can get exposure through AAU and these camps and stuff like that. It's obviously a lot bigger now than it was back then. Were you doing like the travel team thing back then?
We did, but I tell this story and people laugh, but going into my eighth grade year was the first year of AAU and in Maine.
Yeah.
And you had to have three teams to be in the state tournament in order to qualify for nationals. And so we had tryouts. We had all of the best players in Maine on one team. That was my team. And then we randomly found like two other teams to just play in the tournament.
Yeah.
It was at Waterville High School. It was crazy, you know? And so people look at that now like, that's insane. You know, there are so many different, but we did, and we were able to travel. Not like they travel now. I mean, we would do one tournament in the summertime, you know? We were not going every weekend and all of that. We weren't doing that. So, but it was good.
It's changed. It's changed a little bit.
It has changed. It has.
So you mentioned the UMaine program at the time, that they were just doing things and it was just very attractive for you. You also became teammates with one of your rivals, right? Yeah. So Cindy's there. Yeah. What kind of teams did you come into? Because I'm guessing they were, they were competing for America East Championships those 2 years prior to you getting there. What kind of program and team were you walking into?
Yeah, they had gone to the NCAA tournament 2 years prior to me getting there. They were a winning team. I had no expectations going in. You know, I was just so excited to be part of that program. And I was going to a team that had two seniors and two juniors who played a lot. And we had five freshmen coming in, big class. And so, it was a great, great program.
And back then, they were playing games with the Alphon. What was the Alphon like? It must have been rocking in there, I'm guessing.
It was. It was cold. It was really cold. And teams would come and just couldn't believe that we were playing there because it was really cold.
Yeah.
But it didn't faze us. I mean, we were whatever. But, we were fortunate. I mean, we were playing in front of – this was before games were streamed.
Yeah.
You know, so if you wanted to watch the game, you had to go. Like, there was no on Wednesday night when it's kind of cold, I'm just going to sit on my couch and watch it on television, like you couldn't do that. So I think, we averaged 4,000, 5,000 fans a night at those games. And it was awesome.
I remember like towards the end of Cindy's career, it got to the point where like there'd be games on Sundays, like some of your home games were actually on TV.
Yeah.
Dad being like, we're going to watch the UMaine girls today. We're going to stay home and watch the girls. And I was like, all right. And I just remember the atmosphere being crazy.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
It's always an adjustment to jump levels, go from high school to college. What was the biggest adjustment for you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, I don't know. I mean, the strength, the quickness, all of that kind of stuff. And I just had no expectations. I was just going to go and work really hard. And I was fortunate to have been coached by my dad, and we learned a lot of things. Our fundamentals were really good. And so defensively, I really like to play defense. And so I think that jump from high school to college, a lot of times defensively is tough. So that was helpful that I was able to do that. And I like to pass the ball. And we had some players on our team that could just flat out score. So that helped.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you have a moment where, because you mentioned not really having any expectations, did you have a moment like maybe through your freshman year, maybe into your sophomore year, where like, okay, like I could play at this level, I can contribute, I'm going to be all right. Did you have like that moment?
I can't think of a moment, but I know like early on I was playing a lot, I wasn't starting my freshman year, but I was the first one off the bench and playing like 30, 35 minutes as a freshman. And so I was like, well, I must be doing something right if I'm playing this much, So, yeah.
And you mentioned the tournament you guys have kind of to kick out the season this year with UConn and Mississippi State. So that's one of the cool things about playing at your level is you get to go to these tournaments, play these schools. Not to include the NCAA tournament, what were some of the tournaments or games or teams you guys played looking back on it that were pretty cool, like to go to like this campus or play this team?
When I was in college?
Yeah, when you were playing.
I think I remember playing, we played at North Carolina, not at Chapel Hill, but a tournament down there, but we played against Marion Jones, who was a track star. She was on the team, so that was pretty cool. Anytime we went to the NCAA tournament, that was awesome. I remember going to Missouri State one time, and that was incredible. That Jackie Stiles was playing for them at that time, who was, I don't think she is anymore. She's definitely not, but at the time, the all-time leading scorer ever in college. Yeah. We were able to travel. We had teams come up. Georgia came up here, and we brought them to overtime. They were top 10. it just those kind of games will always stick out.
What was it like on campus at the time? Because I'm guessing like the team was just it was hot. Like you guys were the hot thing. So what was the reaction like on campus?
Well, I mean, to be fair, our hockey team won the national championship.
That's true. It was a good time to be at UMaine.
So it was a really good time to be at UMaine. The men's team, I mean, they saved Bedard's broken wrist his senior year. They would have won the championship, you know. So you had men's basketball, who was really good. You had men's ice hockey that was really good. You had us. Football was decent, if I remember. You know, so it was just you had just great success going on in athletics at Maine at that time.
So once Cindy left, you still had, 2 years to go, and I'm guessing people were thinking the program is probably going to take a little downturn.
Yeah.
What fueled you guys and what got you guys just to continue to play at a high level? Because it didn't really drop off. You guys kept it going. So was that a challenge you guys all took personally? Like, you know, just because she's not here no more, that doesn't mean we're going to fall off. Like, I'm guessing you guys kind of use that as fuel.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever talked like that. It was never spoken, you know, but it definitely, you know, you have a chip on your shoulder because everyone did, you know, like you just lost the best player ever in Maine history, high school, college, whatever. And she was, and she still is. You just lost her. What are you guys going to do now? You know? And so there's definitely a chip on their shoulder, on our shoulder. But I think our team, you know, we had a couple of seniors, Kelly Bowman and Andrea Clark, who had never really played a lot up until their senior year. And they just kind of fit, and everyone kind of played their roles and just kind of fit. And Jamie Cassidy, who was just amazing player, just had a fantastic season, and everyone just excelled. And it just worked, just clicked, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned Jamie. So you actually got to play with two players who were drafted into the WNBA, right? People remember Sydney, but they might not remember Jamie. So what was that like? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. You guys had two players in the program from the University of Maine who got drafted. And I think they're both first round draft picks, right?
I don't think Jamie was, but she did play in the WNBA for sure. So for me, it's funny because everyone always says, well, you have the assist record. I'm like, well, yeah, look who I played with, you know? I mean, I'm no dummy, you know? Like, I know who should get the ball when they should get the ball. Jamie was awesome. Like, I loved playing with her. She could catch anything I threw at her, she would catch. She was 6'4", could hit the three. I mean, I don't think people understand how good of a player she was. Just incredible. So for me to be able to play with her for 4 years was just really special.
So Maine's always had a history of kids from Maine who go to UMaine, right? And sometimes they're the best players, sometimes they're role players. Mm-hmm. As a kid from Maine, you ever feel like the pressure to be like, I gotta show that I belong and that I'm not just here because I'm from Maine? Like, do you guys have a chip on your shoulder being the Maine kids at all? Is that a thing?
You know, it might be. It wasn't for me. Yeah. I was just so thrilled to be playing at Maine, and I had so much fun, you know, to be playing in front of the crowds, and people everywhere you go, people recognize you, you know, and they want to talk to you about the game. And it was so fun. And so I never had that. I'm not saying other Maine players don't, but for me, it was just really, really an exciting and an awesome time.
So we got to get to this game that I mentioned right at the top here. You're one of the few people, I don't know how many from Maine can say this, that they've actually won an NCAA tournament game. So what year was that? Was that your junior or senior year?
That was my junior year. So it was 1998, 1999. Whew, right. Dating myself. Look at that. The 90s.
But we got to go back to it because this is huge.
Yeah.
So you guys, how many times did you win the America East?
So we won the America East my first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year. And then actually my junior and senior year, we got at large bids to the NCAA tournament because we had lost. Yeah.
Which is also that's huge right there. I mean, there's not too many teams that can say that.
No. Yeah. That was big. That was really big.
All right. Yep. So your junior year, you guys get an at large bid and you get what? Was it a 14 seed or 15 seed?
10
seed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to do better research.
So. Yeah. It was crazy. You know, but that shows, like, if you follow like the selection with the bubble and stuff, usually 10 seeds are kind of right on the bubble.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 11, 12 a little bit. And we were right on that bubble. But yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. So you get an at large bid, which is unbelievable. And a 10 seed on top of that. Usually, like, when you guys on the So you guys don't get a 10 seed.
Yeah, not now we don't. Yeah. Not now.
And then you guys go up against one of the best programs in the entire country, right? Stanford, which would have been a 10 versus, what would have worked out to 10 versus 7. Okay, there we go. Yeah. You remember it like yesterday.
I also deal with the brackets all the time now.
That's true. So. Yeah, you're right. So where was this game at?
It was at ODU in Norfolk, Virginia.
What do you remember about this game? Because they would have been, I mean, they were, had to be competing for national championships all throughout that time too, right? I mean,
they had won in the early 90s. The year prior to us beating them, they actually were the number one seed and got beat by Harvard. Like they were the first one. But they still were, I mean, Tara Vanderveer, I mean, they're still very, very good. So I just remember the one thing, you know, Coach Palumbo was really good at a lot of different things. But she was a great, great X's and O's coach, you know, really can prepare you, I felt, for games. And so I remember just feeling really, really prepared for the game. And I remember we used to play this matchup zone. And I remember the first few minutes, Stanford, they had their 6'5", 6'6", girl chucking up threes. And I remember just thinking, like, this might be okay. Yeah. You know, like, we might be all right. And just kind of was in it. The game was close the whole way. And, you know, our program had been to the NCAA tournament. I think that was the sixth time or fifth time. I don't know. We had lost like four or five times before. And it was kind of like, are they ever going to win a game? You know, are they ever going to win a game? And so to have it so close at the end, it was just, it was awesome.
What was the final score?
I don't know. We won by two.
Two-point win.
Yeah, I think it was in the 50s. I'm not sure, but we won by two. Yeah.
What was the locker room like after that?
It was crazy because it was a close game. I mean, we were tied with like 25 seconds to go. We call a timeout, run, set up a play. It's going to be a two-man game with Jamie and I. And we go and Jamie misses a shot and Martina Tinklova got an offensive rebound, got fouled, hit two free throws. So there's like 6 seconds left. Stanford doesn't have a timeout. They come down, miss a shot, we win. So we go crazy, right? Oh, yeah. Like, I can't believe it. And we go into the locker room. And I mean, it's really a balance because you're so excited that you just won this game. And then at the same time, you're like, but we have a game in 2 days, you know, like we got to get ready for the next round. So, but we had two fan buses, three fan buses come down, huge crowd. It was really cool.
And that in itself is something that you guys had never had to deal with, like winning in advance. Like you guys never had to have that quick turnaround time. So I mean, like even that in itself must have been like, oh, whoa, like this is something new here. We got to focus. Who'd you guys play in the second round?
ODU.
And who was there? Was it Pinichero?
Pinichero had just left. She was in the crowd. Okay. It was Natalie Achanwa and not Natalie Achanwa. I'm sorry. She's playing for the WNBA. She played at Notre Dame. It was there was Natalie Diaz and there was a girl from Portugal, Mary Andrade. She was there. They were just, they were really good. And
they won a national championship right around that time too, right?
Before us.
That's crazy. So,
yeah, it was, it was cool.
It's not a bad thing to have on the resume. It's something you can always hold over your players. Like, look, girls, I've got to win, okay? Listen to me.
Yeah.
I've got one. How did senior year end for you guys?
Senior year was a tough year, you know. We had a great junior year, and then senior year, it was a really up and down year, you know. Again, we lost in the final, we got beat badly in the championship game. I mean, just really badly. And we really felt like the season was over. Like there was no way. And we got another at-large bid and went out to actually Santa Barbara, California, which was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Played North Carolina out there. We were up 10 in the second half. And then, you know, they had Nikki Teasley was on that team. She was super good and they came back and beat us. But
not a bad college career, though.
No,
really, really, really cool things right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Real quick, can you show love? I'm from Northern Maine, so we always got a chip on our shoulder because we feel like we always get the short end of the stick. People always doubt us, but I think one of our Northern Mainers played with you guys when you were there. Tracy Garrett, right? Was she there when you were there?
She did, Tracy.
Can you give Tracy some love, real quick?
Oh,
wisdom, small town, saying I got the Maine.
That's right. I could tell you a lot of stories about Tracy, but really hard worker, you know, and if for I'm sure you know now, I'm sure everyone from Northern Maine knows she's a runner now, like amazing runner. Mm-hmm. So before every season, we used to have to run 5 miles, and it was like a, you know, around the campus, the trails and stuff. And I remember I think I was a senior at the time. She was a sophomore, and I remember running with her, and she was like, I'm like, you can do it, Trace. Come on, stay with me. And I laugh at it now because I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, this girl who should have qualified for the Olympic trials, I was like bringing her along.
Unbelievable. But
that was back when, you know, she was she was a great soccer player. She, yeah. She was like, you know, really run. And but talk about a hard worker. Like, that kid, you know, came to Maine, promised nothing, on no scholarship, and just worked her way up into a starting role and a really key contributor. It's absolutely really cool.
Shout out to Tracy. Small town hoops from Northern Maine.
Absolutely.
So there's a gap between when you finish college and getting into coaching. And I got a story for you. We actually crossed paths one time. You're not going to remember this. All right. We actually crossed paths. This probably would have been like 2000. It probably was right after your playing days. I used to go to Tiger basketball camp in Fort Fairfield, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
And one time, your dad was the guest speaker.
Yeah.
He brought along his daughter.
Yeah.
And she put on a basketball dribbling clinic. How long did that happen? Like, how long were you doing dribbling clinics with your dad after college? Like, how long did that last for?
It didn't happen often. I think I just went with him for the ride. Okay. And, yeah.
It was impressive, though. Two ball drills, just going to just all kinds of crazy stuff. At what age did you lose that ability? Can you still do it now? Like, if someone throws two balls,
I can do two balls now. I mean, it's stationary, so I can definitely do that. But yeah, I can still do that. Yeah.
So for a lot of the coaches that I've talked to, they knew, like, in high school, they're like, I want to go to college, and after college, I want to coach. When did coaching cross your mind?
Oh, I mean, I was anti-coaching for a long time. You know, you can ask anyone who talked to me. When I graduated college, I was like, I am done with basketball. You know, it had been my life forever, you know.
Yeah, I'm guessing you get burnt out, right? It's a huge, huge commitment. That's all you do.
Yeah. I mean, I was done. You know, I had no interest in trying to play. I had no interest in coaching. Like, I was just, and I wanted to kind of do my own thing. I wanted to be somewhere where no one really knew me. You know, I could be Amy Vachon, some random girl, like, you know. And so I went to grad school in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, did not do anything with basketball, didn't go to a game, didn't do any. The closest thing I did is when my twin brother came to visit me, we went to Cameron to tour it, went to Dean Dome to tour it, you know, but it's the closest thing I got to it. Came back, and again, I was still, I was working as a guidance counselor and just kind of coached field hockey, but wasn't really into basketball, and just kind of found myself being brought back into it, you know. And so, and then I just said, you know what, why are you fighting this? Like, this is part of your life. You love it. Like, let's see where it goes. So
what was the first gig? You mentioned helping your dad out a little bit at one point, but
my first actual coaching basketball job was at Waterville High School. It was in 2000. So I had just graduated from college, and they had asked me to coach, and I said I'd do it, but I was only going to be there for a year because I was going to grad school. And so I did that, helped my dad out. Then I was helping out at Greeley for a little bit. And then I helped out. I did Greeley and then Macaulay and then Maine.
So 1 year at Macaulay, state championship. First year UMaine, conference championship. You pretty much win everywhere you go. When was the last time you lost something like your first year in it? Like, when was the last time you actually did not win the championship at the end of the year?
Well, for a while at Maine, we weren't winning. It took a little while to turn it around, but
Your first year as a head coach, you win the conference.
Oh, my first
year as a varsity coach, you win a Class A state championship.
Yeah.
So when was the last time you actually lost when you were in charge of something? Has it been a while?
I guess it has been, yeah.
It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'll knock on wood. I'll take it.
Keep going for as long as you can.
Yeah.
What do you remember from the Macaulay stint? Because you had some great, great players there.
Yeah, we did. I remember loving it. I remember, you know, working for Sister Edward Mary and Mr. Co-Martin and just how wonderful they were. And just the community at Macaulay was something I never expected. You know, I didn't know what to expect going in. I'd never been to an all-girls school. I'd never been any, you know, but it was just, it was so cool to see these girls be able to be themselves and and challenge each other, and just, it was really, really neat. And then our team, you know, we had great players.
It's an understatement. You know, it's an understatement right there.
I know. I was very fortunate, you know, and the program hadn't won a state championship for a while, you know? So, you know, when we won in the semifinals at the Cross Arena, those girls had never won a game there were in high school. So, that was pretty cool. And it was just, I mean, there's so many memories about that season, but it was a lot of fun.
I had Allie Clement on a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Can you give me an Allie Clement story or just speak on Allie?
Oh gosh. I just remember, you know, Allie coming in as a freshman and how talented she was. She was so fast. I mean, she wasn't east to west at all. She was north to south, you know, get there. And, you know, as a freshman, she didn't start right away. And a lot of kids with her, you know, coming in, she was pretty highly touted coming in. And a lot of kids might have said, you know, screw you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm whatever. And yeah, she never did, you know, she just played and played. And at the end, I mean, don't get me wrong, the kid came in 2 minutes into the game, played 30 minutes of the game and never sat. But she was just really, really talented. And just as a freshman was so, so happy to be a part of that program, you know, and so happy to be a part of that team. And with Alexa and with Becca and Sadie and all those other girls, Olivia Porch, who was a senior, it was just a really, really fun year. And Allie was a huge part of it.
Class A championship as a player, as a coach, and then UMaine comes calling. So when did you jump to UMaine? Was it right after the Macaulay year?
Yeah, it was not in the, there was no planning on that. we had won and I was pretty happy. You know, I had a condo on the beach at the beach and had summers off and, yeah, you know, I was living right outside of Portland and it was nice, you know? And then got a call from Richard Barron, who had just been hired, and I had no idea who he was, like had never met him. To be fair, I kind of grew distant from the Maine program. No particular reason, just kind of, I was doing my life in Southern Maine and just kind of, you know, felt disconnected. And so I knew what had happened, but I wasn't really on top of like who they were looking to hire or anything. So he called me and just talked to me. He said, I heard your name because of the Vashon name. And I just, in Maine, I want to talk to you. And then I met him out for lunch at Sebago by the mall, the old Sebago by the mall, when he came up for his press conference and he offered me the job.
Wow.
And I really had to think about it. I mean, to be fair, it was a pay cut. It was a total change of lifestyle. I had it pretty good at Macaulay. Like, I probably could have stayed and won a couple more championships, you know? But when I really thought about it, it was always something like, if I didn't try it, I think I would have regretted it, you know, because I didn't know. It was always kind of in the back of my mind when I started coaching again. But it was hard. I mean, it was hard telling those girls and those parents and everyone that I was leaving. I mean, it didn't take that job intending to be there for a year.
Right.
They were going to have a third coach in 3 years. I mean, I don't wish that on anyone. That's hard. No matter how good any of the coaches are, change is tough. But it was something I felt like I had to do. So
you made the jump to UMaine as an assistant, and then you kind of, you're with them as they're building up to what you guys are now. So you kind of went through that whole journey. And you mentioned kind of like weighing if you wanted to do it or not. During the time as an assistant, prior to taking over the program, did your mindset start changing? Like, you know, maybe I want to be a head coach at this level. Like, maybe this is something that I want to do, or did it just kind of come out of nowhere?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. I actually, the year before. So, I mean, I just happened into this situation. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, and so the year before Coach Barron got sick, I actually was like very, very seriously contemplating getting done. I just was tired. I didn't think it was for me. And, you know, I stayed on, and then I all of a sudden, and, you know, Coach Barron got sick. Luckily he's healthy now, but at the time we didn't know. And so there I was. And, you know, it just kind of kept happening. Things kept happening, and here I am. So
what is it about being the head coach versus the assistant that's kind of refueled you? Because I'm guessing you're loving what you're doing now. So what is it? Just change of responsibility? Is it having your own program and just kind of shape it, being able to shape it how you want, that kind of change the mindset? Or
what was it for you? I don't know. I think it was just
I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
championships.
Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, I do love what I do now. I love the people I work with. I love the people on our team. And that makes it great. Obviously winning helps. I mean, there's no, I'm not gonna lie about that. You know, those first couple years when Coach Barron was really rebuilding it, it was tough. I mean, that second year we won 4 games and lost like 18 in a row at one point. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever lost 18 of anything in my entire life, like combined, you know, I was like, I can't, this is so hard. But that's understanding, that's a process. And sometimes you got to go through really tough times to get out on the other side. And I don't know, I just am really enjoying it right now. So.
Yeah. So I mentioned you were able to win a Class A championship as a player and a coach, able to win an America East championship as a player and a coach. What's it like being back there now? Because you mentioned kind of distancing yourself from the program for a little bit, but now you're fully in it. Like, what's it like being there now?
Yeah.
And just having the history as a player and doing great things as a coach. How are things in Maine for you right now?
It's really kind of surreal when you think about it. You know, yeah. I mean, I love Maine. I love the university. You know, it's really easy, you know, when you're recruiting someone to recruit someone to a place that you love so much and that you have experienced. I mean, our staff, everyone on our coaching staff went to Maine. Everyone's from Maine. you know, 3 of us played at Maine. So that's helpful. But that shows you how important and how special of a place Maine is. You know, and is it for everybody? No, probably not. But I think the people who come here absolutely love it and thrive and grow. And it's just a really special place.
You mentioned the assistant coaches. And real quick, I want to give some more love to Northern Maine. Can you please talk to us about Paris? I had her on when she was playing. She did the podcast a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But I haven't had her on now that she's a coach. So how is she as a coach? She seems to be fitting in just play it.
No, Paris is great, you know. I think she's starting to really find her voice. You know, I think it's hard, you know, when you come in, especially when you come in as someone who just played with all these players and now you're their coach. That can be a hard transition. But Paris is, if anyone is suited for that, Paris is. She's able to really find that balance between, you know, still being friends with them, but also look like we can't be friends like we used to be friends, you know, kind of thing. But she's awesome. I mean, and she's just, for anyone who knows Paris, just one of the best people you'll ever meet, you know. I'm thrilled that she's still part of our program.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things with coaching college basketball is it's not just coaching, it's recruiting, right? Recruiting is just as important as coaching, because you can be the greatest coach in the world. If you don't have talent, you're going to struggle, right? So there's a couple different ways you can go about it. You can go out there and just, I'm going to get the best players. Whoever I can get them, I'll bring them in. Or you can try to build your program and have players that kind of fit your program, bring them in. So what's the approach you guys take? Because you guys have had to get a little creative and look in places that maybe not everyone else is looking in. How do you guys go about finding players for your program?
Yeah, so the first thing that we honestly is it's obviously the big net, or, you know, what kind of separates is you see them play basketball. You know, I mean, if they're not good enough, you're not going to contact somebody. Yeah. But quickly after that, it's getting to know the person who you're recruiting for us. You know, there's a fine line. What are you going to, you know, there's a fine line between a great player and someone who's not gonna, they might be great, but is it worth having them in our program, kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know, and for us, if we have to make that choice between really good person who understands our standards, who believes in what we believe in, who wants our expectations, versus a really good player who doesn't, there's not even a question.
Yeah.
So a lot of our players, you know, they might not pass the eye test. You might see them and be like, whatever. But they have the intangibles and they have the fundamentals and they have the drive and the competitiveness. And it's just awesome. I mean, to watch our kids grow and how they improve year after year is truly incredible. You know, you look at our senior class itself. I mean, it's amazing what they've done since their freshman year and how they've improved. So it's a lot of fun. I think, again, it's just for me and for our staff, you know, yes, they can be great people. I mean, great players, but they have to be just as good as people and have those standards for sure.
So another thing too, so it's challenging. It could be challenging to recruit kids in New England, right? Because of all the big schools and different places you can go, and a lot of kids tend to gravitate that way. So you guys have had to get creative, look outside the country and stuff like that. But another challenge that a small school may face is people using it as a stepping stone to go somewhere else, right? So how do you guys how do you guys tackle that on? Because that can be a challenge. And if a kid's good enough to go somewhere else, like, good for him. I'm sure you guys don't hold anyone back, but how do you find those players that want to stick around versus will come in for a year or two and use it as a stopping ground before moving on?
I mean, I think for us, like, it's really the culture that we have, you know. I mean, the players, once they get to be a part of our program and be part of the team and with their teammates, they can't imagine being anywhere else. Now, to be fair, if someone wants to leave, we don't want them here, because if you don't want to be at Maine, then why do we want to keep you here? Right. You know, I mean, you have to want to be here. I mean, it's not an easy place, you know, like we lose kids all the time and want to go to school in Florida or something like that, you know, like, fine. There's nothing we can do about that. Right. We're in Maine, you know, so it is what it is, but I think we have a lot to offer. You know, if a kid really wants to do that, then you say, okay, you know, you give them all, like, you give them all these are the pros, these are the cons, it's up to you. But one thing about our team is our team is very loyal. And so if someone on the team says we're leaving, there's no coming back from that. Right. You know, there's not a, oh, I made a mistake, can I come back? Our team's like, nah, you can't, like, you didn't want to be here. So, I mean, I don't even think about that, to be honest with you. I think about our players and our program and getting better every day and watching them enjoy each other and how much fun they have with each other. And it's just a joy. So
let's talk about the players this year. What's the outlook looking like? Because, I mean, you guys got a lot of players back. You had players who got a lot of minutes last year just out of necessity because of the injuries you guys faced. So you got a lot of experience. What does this season look like? Are we talking another conference championship season? Is a championship season or bust? Like, how are you guys going into it?
Yeah, I mean, we always would love to win a championship, but we also know there's a lot that goes into that. So we just try and take it one day at a time. Our team it's really interesting. You know, we have 5 freshmen on our team, and then you have 8 returners who most of them have got minutes. You know, and so it's kind of, and the freshmen are, I mean, we practiced today and I split the teams up and I put the freshmen on one team and I put Dor, Blanca, Kelly, Maeve, and Ann on the other team. And the freshman team beat them.
Oh.
Beat them pretty good, okay. You know, and I mean, it just shows you now, is that going to be every day all year? No, but it shows you how competitive those freshmen are, you know, and how deep our team can be. But it's exciting. You know, you have, you know, Ann and Blanca playing together is fun to watch. You know, they are two just fantastic, fantastic players. You know, you have Blanca Dor as a point guard for your starter. Yep. Maeve, who had a heck of a year last year, undersized. Kelly, I mean, we have a lot of kids, and so they're fun. They're really fun. It's fun to be in the gym because they're so competitive with each other, you know, and they just want to make each other better, and it's a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the upperclassmen, those 5 that were on one side, and they might have lost today, but I mean, you gotta feel good going into the season, though. I mean, like, that core right there. I mean,
yeah, we ran it back. We ran it back at the end of the second time. So to give them fair, to be fair. So
you guys,
it's a lesson too. You know, like, we talk a lot about, you can't just show up. You know, I mean, you got to play, and you got to compete, and you got to rebound, you got to do all the little things. Because just because of your returners and your player of the year and rookie, like, it doesn't matter. These kids don't care, you know? So
we had Blanca on a couple weeks ago and asked how she was feeling. She said she's feeling good, but can you confirm, how's she looking? Is she ready to roll? Is she about right back at that peak form, or she still got to kind of work her way back a little bit?
No, she looks great. I mean, she really does. You know, I think it's hard, you know, with her, the ACL and then the COVID, you know, you have all of these different things playing in, but, she, I mean, I don't look at her at all, and I never question when she goes up for something. I don't wince. I don't think about it. You know, she's She's strong. She's stronger than she has been. No, she looks great.
I'm excited. I hope we can watch basketball in person. I want to go to the Insurance Center, and I just want to watch some UMaine women's basketball.
Yeah.
Get my courtside seat back. I used to have courtside seats. I'm going to get a little favor from Coach here and get the hookup to get my courtside seat back.
I don't know how anyone gets courtside seats.
It's a high ticket, right? Well, to be fair, like, I used to have courtside seats like back during like that 4-28 season or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
that's when I had courtside seats. Well, I remember thinking, like, we used to get, you know, 1,000, 1,200 people at those games. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. You were trying. So
real quick, what can you speak to the UMaine Nation, like the fan base? You mentioned how great it was back when you were playing. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, you guys are at the top draw, only behind UConn and New England, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So what can you say about the UMaine fans that come out and support you guys every home game?
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, I feel like they're getting louder and louder every year, which is awesome. They're just so loyal, you know, so loyal, and have been there through the hard times and the good times. And they are just the best, you know, and I hope everyone is staying safe. And I hope that, you know, we can at some point this year have fans in person. But if we can't, I hope everyone, you know, streams the games and watches it online and all that good stuff. So
this is the one thing I want to say. I talked to Paris about this when I had her on a while back, and you guys draw great, but it just seems like a very quiet crowd until like the last 4 minutes of a game. And it might be the demographic, to be fair, that we have a lot of older fans, nothing wrong with that. They come out and they love their UMaine women's basketball, but it can be quiet in there sometimes. Like, what can we do to make some more noise?
It's gotten better. It really has. Like, I mean, there are some games last year that they were close and they were great. Yeah. They were awesome. So they're getting, it just, you know, it takes some time to figure out like what you can and can't do, you know, yeah. But they're getting there. It's great.
Cause it's been a little while since I've been to a home game. I think the last one I went to was when you guys won the America East, the first one.
Yeah.
And that place was packed and that was a great crowd. So they have the ability. We just got to get them to make noise earlier in the game.
Yeah, you see me once in a while, like, I do that, you know, but they're good. They usually respond pretty well, so.
Yeah, they're getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting used to winning. They're getting used to what they can do, what they can say. It's evolving.
I mean, you know, Maine, we're all very polite people, and so people, when someone starts yelling at another, they're like, oh, no, don't do that. Yeah. It's okay. It's a game.
It's okay to make noise.
Yeah, it's okay.
So before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to say a little piece. The floor is yours. Whatever you want to say before we get up out of here. Any recruiting pitches, anything you want to say, whatever you got to say before we get up out of here.
No, I have two things. One, I want to thank you. I give you props. I think you do an awesome job. And, you know, you can tell you really do your research, and that's very meaningful. So keep it up. It's who's who. I was like, when am I going to be able to get on? My gosh. Like,
I was nervous. I thought you were too big time for big time. I was like, she's got conference championship.
So, no, you do a great job. The second thing I'd just say is, you know, this week, actually, our team with SAC at Maine is hosting a voters drive for student athletes. And so we're really trying to get all student athletes registered to vote. And just, you know, I mean, this is, I'll tell you a quick story and then I'll stop. But I was actually in Israel last fall and I was recruiting and I was with Dor's dad. He was like my chauffeur, thank goodness. He was driving me around. And he said the day I was there, the streets were empty. There wasn't a lot of traffic. And I said, why? He goes, well, it's a holiday. And I said, for what? He goes, well, it's voting. Everyone's voting today. And so it's a holiday. It's a national holiday because everyone votes. Yeah. And so I said, well, what's your voter turnout like? And he's like, oh, like 99.9% or something like that, you know? And when he heard what ours was, he was flabbergasted, like couldn't even believe that we didn't have 99.9%, you know? So it really, you know, a lot of things have made me think a lot, but that I always go back to that and think how fortunate we are to have this ability in our country to vote, and let's take advantage of it. You know, let's have our voices heard, and it does matter. You know, some people, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It matters what you say. It matters what you think. And I don't care who you vote for or what your beliefs are. But we'd love to see, you know, I know I'd love to see all of our student athletes registered. And if we can set a record in Maine for voter turnout, I think that would be fantastic. So that's my spiel.
Absolutely. Shout out to the UMaine Women's Program. It's a great follow on social media. It seems like you guys are very in tune with what's going on and got all kinds of different things going on. It's good to see that, you know, they're student athletes and not just athletes and, right. and, you know, being part of the university, being part of the community and stuff like that. It's really, really good to see. So
awesome. Thank you so much.
Amy Vachon, ladies and gentlemen, coach Amy Vachon here on Big Time. We wish you the best of luck this season. We hope that there is a season. We're going to be watching that closely.
Yes.
And I may be reaching out to you to get permission to speak to a couple more of your players because I don't want to break any NCAA rules. I don't know how it works.
You can talk to them anytime that you want.
Sure.
You might have to be careful who you talk to, you know, whatever you're getting into. It depends on who you talk to.
I'll keep it. I won't create any controversy. It'll be good, clean, fun. And
oh, no. I'm not worried about that. I worry about what they do.
Oh, okay.
Some can be a little crazy. Some can be.
Well, crazy is good for ratings, so we need to find out who the crazy ones are and bring them on. But in all seriousness, best of luck this season. Like I said, I hope we can watch UMaine women's basketball in person. If we can't, then we'll be streaming that and watching that and rooting for the Black Bears. So thank you again. Absolutely. That's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for this week's episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all the previous episodes. Wherever you can get your podcast, it's up there. So check those out, and we'll see you next week with another Big Time episode of Big Time Hoops. See ya. All right. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right.